God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of life.
Shall we pray together? Lord, we are grateful to you for the way you have led us. Thank you for how you have continued to open your word to us as we continue to study the kingdom lifestyle. Thank you for this series that you sat with your disciples on the mount to teach. Thank you for bringing us into it again. We desire this day that you will please draw us to the mountain apart and sit over our lives and unveil your oracles unto us. Let it mix with faith in our hearts and cause your word to produce the kind of life, Christ's life, within us. Thank you. Thank you for all those who are joining us either for the first time today. We pray, Lord, that you reach out unto them and cause your face to shine upon each one of us. All those who have come in with a particular need or a burden in their hearts, Lord, even by the word of prayer, we ask that you send forth your word into their lives, into their situation. The Bible says he sent his word and he heals them and delivers them from all their destructions. We ask that as your word go forth today, you bring healing and deliverance to your people, and you cause a newness to break forth in our lives. Thank you for all that we are going to do and all that you are going to show us. We trust you, God, that your spirit will overshadow all of us. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We once again thank God for how he has continued to guide our thoughts in this Bible study and for the way in which he led us through the last series on Blessed Are the Merciful, and particularly last week when we had a kind of review and a panel discussion dealing with questions. I trust God that you followed and it was a blessing to you. I want to thank God for the time we have come now. And if you have been following, we are now in chapter 8 of the Kingdom Lifestyle. The Kingdom Lifestyle that we have been studying. We are now in chapter 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And the introduction to this study today, by God's grace, we shall be working together with Sister Becky from Belize, Sister Carla from the U.S., and Brother Joshua Williams from Canada. We shall be working together and trusting the Lord will help us as we go on. The introduction for today, Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, as a continuation of this series of studies on kingdom attitudes or kingdom lifestyle, preached and taught by the Lord Jesus on the mount to his followers, we shall look at blessed are the pure in heart. Now, just to give context to our study, we are going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 8 today, but verse 8 is our point of study. I will ask Sister Becky to pick Matthew 5 from verse 1 to 8 for us to begin our study together. Matthew 5, 1 to 8, Sister Becky.
Matthew 5, 1 to 8, King James Version. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
And now, reading up to verse 8 will help you to remember that that's what we have been dealing with. We have started looking at that particular passage, and we have been taking them step by step. And today, we are going to be looking at blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I will not need to summarize all that we have done in all the past studies. It has taken us several months for us to come to this point. But I just want you to note that if you want to follow up with the past studies and you need to maybe take a recap, there are records of it that if you ask through our channels, they'll be able to get across to you by the grace of God. But today, we are going now to look at blessed are the pure in heart. Now, purity of heart, as we shall soon discover, is an eternal prerequisite for maintaining an unbroken communion with God. Without holiness, it is emphatically declared in scriptures that no man shall see the Lord. Can I request Sister Carla to confirm that for us from the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14.
From the New King James Version. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Amen.
Right. Pursue peace or follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we are saying that purity of heart is an eternal prerequisite for maintaining an unbroken communion with God. Without holiness, emphatically, it is declared in the Word of God that no man shall see the Lord. Now, as we go into this particular study, looking at purity of heart, please, I'd like you to please pray and open your heart to the Lord for a personal touch and an encounter that brings a permanent experience of holiness of life. May the Lord answer you according to the yearnings of your heart in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the main text that we are going to walk through today, as we can go ahead, we'll take it from Matthew 5, 8, which we have just read. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, we'll be asking Brother Joshua to pick that up. And then we'll ask Sister Becky to pick Psalm 15, 1 to 5. We are going to be looking at the pure in heart from those texts. So let's quickly go pick the text, Psalm 24.
Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5 from the New King James Version says, right. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joshua. Let's pick Psalm 15, 1 to 5.
Psalms 15, 1 to 5, King James Version. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that biteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Shall never be moved, thank God. Now, we're not going to particularly begin to study this particular text for today, but they are going to be our reference text as we keep going in the course of this particular study. But that's just to underscore the fact that the one that can ascend into the hill of the Lord, that may be able to stand in his presence in his holy place. The word of God gave us their qualification, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity or to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. They are the ones that shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation, as we have read. And then the Psalm 15 again also raised the challenge, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And you see the issues that were raised, he that walks uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. We shall be dealing with those things line by line as we begin to study. But for the first focus that we need to deal with, the human heart. Because we are saying, blessed are the pure in heart. We need a particular insight into what is the nature of the human heart. What is the condition of the human heart? Unless we will have an insight into what the human heart is, we may not be able to appreciate why the Lord is insisting that only those who have pure heart and a clean hand can actually see the Lord. And only such people can actually walk into the presence of God and have a communion, have a standing in the holy place. And if any man is going to prevail in this earth, one communion, one relationship you cannot afford to break is your relationship with the Lord. If you cannot have a stand before God, then I don't know where you can have stand in this world. Any man who stands before God is already scattered. By and large, and by and by, his stand among men will become nothing. Will become nothing. So let's quickly examine the human heart today and begin to look at what God will have us learn about it. Now, we go to number A under number one, the human heart. Spiritually speaking, we want to describe the nature of the human heart. We want to quickly look at what is the nature of the human heart. And in this case, we shall take the scripture. Sometime I may ask us to check from other versions, but let's begin. Now we'll start with Joshua. But Joshua, you're reading Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. Sister Carla, you are reading Matthew 23, 25-28. And Matthew 15, verse 8, Sister Becky. And then 23:7, Proverbs 23:7, Brother Joshua again. Then Sister Carla will come back to help us read Ezekiel 14, 1-5. And Sister Becky, you will pick 6:5 of Genesis. Let's quickly go ahead. Now, as we are doing this, I want all of us to keep marking what are the striking issues that each of those scriptures was bringing, because we are only looking for how to understand the nature of the human heart. what is peculiar about the human heart that God wants us to pick from. We start with Joshua from Jeremiah 17.
Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10 from the New King James. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Amen.
Okay, thank you. Now, before you go away from there, can we get that same passage from Good News? Who can understand the human heart? There is nothing else so deceitful. It is too sick to be healed. I, the Lord, search the minds and test the hearts of people. I treat each of them according to the way they live, according to what they do. That is Good News Bible of that particular verse. Now, let's go to Matthew 23, Sister Carla.
Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28 in the New King James Version. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Amen.
All right. Thank you. We're looking at the condition of human heart. 15 verse 8.
Matthew 15, verse 8.
Yes.
"These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Their heart is far from me."
All right. Okay. So we're seeing some possibilities of human heart. Proverbs 23, 7, Brother Joshua.
"For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you. But his heart is not with you." Amen.
Wow. All right. Ezekiel 14, 1 to 5, Sister Carla.
New King James Version. "Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble in iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitudes of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols."
Amen. Okay, thank you. And chapter 6, verse 5 from Genesis.
"And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually."
Continually. All right. So we want to go quickly now, looking at what is the nature of the human heart from all the passages that we have been reading and we have been studying. Now, the first thing we saw, especially when we went to Jeremiah 17, the Bible declared plainly, it said the heart is deceitful above all else. Actually, the way the word of God put it, he said, and desperately wicked. who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the verdict that God has placed on the human heart that you can see there. And I think it is Living Bible that says the heart is too sick to be healed. There's nothing as bad as the human heart. There's nothing as deceitful as the human heart. So the first challenge in our study today is to come to an understanding of what the human heart, by its nature, what it is. And we're discovering that, number one, the human heart is deceitful. If you look at the passage we read in Proverbs 23, verse 7, he said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But you see, that same man said, my brother, please eat and drink. But his heart is not with you. So it is possible for somebody to practice hospitality, and yet his heart is not in it. It is possible for someone to give you a hug, but there's a different plan in the heart. You remember several situations that were found, how people came with their keys, and yet there was a dagger. So the heart is capable of pretending to be something else on the outside, and in itself, a different thing in the inside. The heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all else. Someone can be smiling with you here, but the heart is full of poison. Someone could be even speaking very wonderfully about you, but he's only planning how to push you down into the pit. That is the nature of the human heart that we're seeing there. Now we're seeing that it is possible also, say these people honor me and draw near me with their mouth. So it is possible to actually engage in worship, engage in a church program, and be very, very active. And yet, the Lord Jesus said, their heart is far from me. So what we are saying is that the heart, the human heart, is able to be engaged in religion without encountering God. Human heart is capable of maintaining a relationship for years, and yet you have not been able to discover what is the real person you are living with. There are husbands that have lived with their wives for 20 years, but there are things that they have kept and stored up in their heart that that woman has not known. Sometimes it is on the deathbed or when we are at the graveside that you discover the things that the wife in the house has never heard about or known about. The heart is capable of storing things inside and presenting a different front on the outside and making everybody to feel that you are well when you are not. So the question that we are dealing with, which is very clear, and I'm trying to analyze it as we are going on, is the fact that when Jesus Christ now came to confront the heart, and he said, blessed are the pure in heart, they are the ones that will see God. So it means then that if there's any essence in your relationship with God, if there's anything that you are going to hold as something crucial in your walk with God, it has to begin with your heart. When your heart is not yet conquered, permit me to say you are not conquered yet. And God himself is not interested in anything else. He does not look at outward appearance, does not look at the height of stature. He's not concerned, actually, about all the externality of religion, of dressing, and all of that. What God looks for first, when he looks at a man, he looks at his heart. Say, I, the Lord, I look into the heart. I don't look at the outward appearance. It is because the heart of the matter is your heart. The heart of your lifestyle is your heart. Everything else you can do, you can put up. But unless your heart has been sanctified, purified, and brought into conformity with the will of God, God hasn't seen anything yet with you. There are times that you even maintain friendship with people, and you think that they are with you. You think that, oh, they have understood. But their heart is different. They have told you that everything is fine, but something else is in their heart that they have not brought out. So that's why the question of the heart in discipleship is very critical. That's why the question of the heart in walking with God cannot be postponed or treated lightly. Actually, as far as God is concerned, everything that is genuine has to come from the heart. And every defilement that defiles any man's life is first of all a defilement that comes from the heart. It's the heart that is the determinant matrix of every relationship. May I say to you as you listen to me here that everything about you cannot be divorced from what your heart is. Anything else you can do, you can pretend, you can dress well, you can speak wonderfully, you can preach powerfully, but that's not what defines you. What defines who you are is the condition of your heart. And it is this matter that we are dealing with today as the Lord will lead us. Now, I want us to now quickly pick the few highlights that we have noted in those notes that we have written there. Now, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is the most deceitful thing ever known. It is very slippery, and you can see this in Matthew 23, 25 to 28 that we have read. We have seen that, yes, it is possible for a man's heart to be full of dry bones and wickedness. But the outside is whitewashed. The outside is looking wonderful. In fact, you think it's the best of man you could ever meet. But his heart is full of bitterness, is full of darkness. He said, now you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of shame. So the point we are raising is that because the heart is very slippery, sometimes you don't even know when the heart has left you. Sometimes you think somebody is still with you, but his heart has departed from you. And he's doing something else. He has gone somewhere else. So because the heart is slippery, to keep it in purity before God has to be a deliberateness. We're told that it is desperately wicked. It is desperate in terms of wickedness. It is desperate to do evil. My dear brother, I want you to know, unless God has captured your heart is very desperate in going astray. Actually, as I was looking at Psalm 59, I saw that Psalm 59 said, even as soon as they were born, their heart goes astray. They went astray. And you see that the question of the heart, the human heart, you don't even have to go somewhere to learn for your heart to misbehave. A small child, as you are watching that child grow, you just see that the natural heart is deceitful. He wants to tell you what is not there in his heart. He says something else and he's doing something else. So it's desperate in doing wickedness. It's desperately wicked. That's how the Bible put it. Desperate to do evil. Now the intents and the contents of the human heart are continually evil without interruption. Genesis 6:5 said, for the intents and the thoughts or the content of the human heart are continually, not once in a week, not once in a while, not once in a month, without interruption. If God doesn't change that heart, the human heart, the truth of the matter is that every time he's always devising, he's always scheming on how to do something that is wrong, that is evil. It is as if it is bent on going the wrong way, the natural heart. Now, we noted also that no man can know the things in a man's heart except probably himself. Let me ask Sister Becky to help us pick 1 Corinthians chapter 2:11, and we just add that to go on in terms of the fact that no man can know the content of a human heart. 1 Corinthians 2:11.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Yes.
Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God.
Yes. No man knows the things that is in a man's heart except the spirit of that man himself. No matter how close you are to somebody, you are unable to know what exactly is in his heart. And you cannot even say that what he says have actually captured everything that is in his heart. No. Human heart has capacity of having a deep store and just drop some few things through the mouth. And he can select what to say to this person, what to say to this person. So you can imagine that people are capable of telling lies to this person, and the person will believe that it is the truth. And it comes to this other person, the same man, doing the same thing, because the heart is desperately wicked. He can do all of that. He is deceitful above all else. Now, we noted something that even in Jeremiah 17:10, the Bible says, even the Almighty God said, even for him to know it, to know what is inside a man's heart, God himself said he has to search. Let me read. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That even God, to discover what is in a human heart, he has to search it. He has to put the searchlight on it to bring it out. Human beings are capable, or even coming to the presence of God, coming to the altar, and they are still pretending. Human beings are able to do that. Human beings can hide the reality of their heart, even in things like speaking in tongues. Sometimes somebody can bring a huge offering to the altar only to cover up something that is in the heart. Only God can bring out the content and the intent of a man's heart. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 was speaking about the word of God being the discerner of the intent and the thoughts of the human heart. Unless God himself will bring a scan to check what is inside his heart. Sometimes people are praying. They are using correct words. They are vehement. They seem to be zealous. But when God comes to check, say, what is the motive of this prayer? You see that the heart has defeated your shouting. So this Bible study, as we're going ahead, we need to confront the situation of the human heart if we're going to have the kingdom lifestyle. Kingdom lifestyle cannot start until your heart has been affected properly, until your heart has been either circumcised or changed according to the word of God. Now, let's go to the number B under that, our number one section we're studying. The heart of a man is actually the heart, the center, the origin of every matter. We're going to pick that up from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Now we're going to ask Sister Carla to read that. And then Brother Joshua, you'll go to Matthew 15, 18 to 20. We're looking at the heart of a man is actually the heart, the center, and the origin of every matter. Yes.
Proverbs 4, verse 23, New King James Version.
All right.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
Of life. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it spring the issues of life. Every issue of life springs from the heart. There is no issue that has its source anywhere else except from the heart. And a man cannot be seriously affected until his heart has been affected. That is the challenge that we have there. Now, Matthew 15 and 15 to 18, Brother Joshua.
Yes, Matthew 15, verse 18 to 20, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. So what are we noting here? And I think we should put very serious priority. We should put weight on the weighty issues and stop playing about the peripheral issues. Now, the Bible says every issue of life, they come from the heart. So the condition of the heart actually is what determines the condition of a man's life in essence. Don't worry about the pretensions. Don't worry about all the camouflage and the hypocritical outlook. But when you catch the man, you want to check the reality of who he is. The reality of what a man is never different from his heart. It is your heart that actually defines who you are in essence. And this is why every other person can be confused or deceived about who you are in reality, because they don't have access to know what is in your heart particularly. So let's now look at that Matthew 15 from verse 18, because Jesus put a very strong emphasis on that. The reason is because he met religious leaders who put emphasis on external appearance, who talk about what to do externally, how you wash your hand, how you do all of those things. And it was looking as if that was the issue to focus upon. The Lord Jesus had to confront that. And look at it. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth actually come from the heart, and they are the ones that defile a man. Those things which proceed out of a man's mouth, they come from the heart. There's no man that you see him say anything that his heart has not particularly determined it. Even if he pretends to be smiling, when he is actually nursing a terrible grudge, it is the action of the heart. So he said, those things which proceed out of the mouth, they are the ones that come from the heart, and they are the ones that defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. All of this, they don't happen outside. They don't jump on someone from outside. It always proceeds from the heart. Evil thoughts, murders, either physical or psychological murders, or any form of murdering. They always proceed from the heart. It's the heart that is at work that does all of that. When you see anybody involved in adultery, and you see the way the Bible put it there, adulteries, that's to show you that all kinds, all manner of adulteries, whether with young or with old, even the ones that you don't want anybody to talk about, anybody to hear about, they all proceed from the heart. They all proceed from the heart. Fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And they proceed from where? From the heart. All we are saying is that the heart of a man is actually the heart, the center, the fulcrum, and the origin of every matter. There's nothing that anyone does that is not determined by the condition of his or her heart. That's what we are trying to say. Jesus now said, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It doesn't, all of those things that people are putting their hands, oh, you enter the sanctuary without washing your feet, or you are eating food without washing your hand. Now, all of those things, they are rule of hygiene. Why it is good to keep all the rules of hygiene? Let me say to you that hygiene is not first of all a primary matter that can defy the heart. Lack of hygiene may bring an infection to your body and all of that. But your heart itself, what brings defilement to it is what is coming out of it. It's what your heart is contemplating, devising, scheming, and producing that actually makes the heart what it is. So every matter is determined or is fashioned or is spring forth from the heart. So if a man is going to be right in life, what is the first place to deal with? It is his heart. It is his heart. And that's why in every time that God is speaking to any man for a genuine revival to take place, it has to be a revival from his heart. Emotionalism is not the issue. Sometimes we gather people, we sing and clap and dance and all of that and think that something has happened. Nothing has happened until the heart has been affected. If the heart has not been dealt with, nothing sincerely has been dealt with. And perhaps as we go on further in this study, I would like to note with you that this particular issue that God is dealing with for us on the matter of purity of heart is a critical principle and attitude that every disciple who wants to walk with God must look at. You must focus on the condition of your heart if you are going to walk tall with God. Now, let's look at what is God's evaluation of a man. What is God's evaluation of any man? And we're saying that God's evaluation of a man is basically that of his heart and not of his appearance. Let's quickly confirm this as we go ahead. 1 Samuel 16:7, Sister Becky will be bringing that to us. And 1 Kings 11:4, Sister Carla. Then we'll be asking Brother Joshua again to go and read 2 Chronicles 25:2. Then Psalm 7:9, I will read that. And if Doye is on the platform, let's ask him to read Psalm 51:6. Can we try quickly?
1 Samuel 16:7. Right. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him.
Wow.
For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, 2 Kings 11:4, Sister Carla.
First Kings 11, verse 4, New King James Version. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Now we'll go to 2 Chronicles 25.
2 Chronicles 25, verse 2.
Yes.
Says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord.
Please, Brother Joshua, can you read verse 1 and 2?
Okay,
so that
sir.
We can know who is the he.
Verse 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadin from Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Amen.
Not with a loyal heart. The old King James said, not with a perfect heart. Right? Let's go to Psalm 7, verse 9. Let me read. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God, test the heart and minds. For the righteous God, test the heart and minds. Dio, are you there to help us with 51:6?
The King James says, behold, thou desired truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
All right, thank you. So what are we seeing there now? God's evaluation of a man is basically that of his heart and not of anything else. God does not consider the height of a man's stature. God does not look at his outward appearance. God is not interested even in his countenance. It is man that looks on all of those. If you say, oh, that man is very huge, or that man is very handsome, or that lady is very cute, and all of that, this is what human beings look at. But whenever God wants to evaluate a man, it is the condition of his heart that God looks for. So God's evaluation of you is your heart. And you may have so much substance that you are rolling in millions, perhaps. But that will not be the attraction for God to you. What will attract God to you is your heart. How is your heart will be the major question there. What will be the condition of your heart? Now, you see that we have seen 1 Kings 11. Solomon was wonderful. Solomon built a lot of buildings, a lot of palaces, and economy seemed to really prosper in his hands. And his wisdom was such that people consulted him from all over the world. But look at God's verdict about him in that verse 4 of 1 Kings. I think we should still repeat that for me. 1 Kings 11 verse 4. Just look at how God evaluated a big man like Solomon that was there, is the wisest of men that lived. Look at what God said about him in verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. That's what God says about him. Yes?
For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father.
That's God's evaluation. And by the time you come to the end of that narrative in chapter 11, you will see that God was very, very, very unhappy with his life. God's evaluation of any man is not how big his ministry is. God's evaluation of a man of God is not, oh, wow, he has the largest congregation in America. That's not the matter. What matters to God is what is the condition of this man's heart. Every day that God looks down, he only looks at people's heart. Even as we are doing this Bible study now, all that matters to God is, what is the condition of my own heart? What is the condition of your own heart? That's what God looks at. Now, it is possible to even do good works, like we read about Amaziah. Brother Joshua, please repeat it again, because I want people to understand that it is possible to do what is right. And that will not be right if your heart is not right with God. Can you try it again, Brother Joshua?
2 Chronicles 25, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadin of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart.
You see, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, not with a loyal heart. How can somebody be doing what is right in the sight of God, and yet his heart is not right? And God did not say, well, because you did what is good, what I like, what is right in my sight, but because your heart is not correct, I will just manage you. God could not do that. So my brother, you may be doing a good job. You may be doing a right thing. In fact, you may be involved in everything that everybody is clapping for. But your heart is not right with God. Your heart is not loyal. Your heart is not perfect. Your heart is not pure. My friends, those things will not vindicate you. Activities will not vindicate you. So, as we are going through this Bible study, it is not that you are not doing something right. Some of you, you are giving very large sum of money to some good causes in the community or in your local church and all of that, which is wonderful. It may look right in the sight of men, but what God is checking is, what is this man's heart? What is the condition of his heart? God's evaluation of every man is the evaluation of his heart, because it is the heart that attracts God. It is the heart that God looks at. And Psalm 51:6 that our brother read for us, let me read it for you again, because I thought that these are passages you should not overlook in this Bible study this time. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Now, truth that a man is speaking on the lips, as wonderful as it may be, God is not yet satisfied with it if it is not the truth in his inward part. So a man can be preaching the truth, and I've met people that will preach powerfully about holiness, they'll preach powerfully against sin, but their own heart, actually, they are drifting to sin. And why do they preach so mightily about holiness when their own heart is not right? It's also the device, the scheme of the heart. Because you will never suspect them. You will think that a man who is preaching powerfully like this, he must be right with God. And yet, many people will hide behind the pulpit. They preach the right things on the pulpit, but their heart is doing something else. Now, that's why what God evaluates, and if we want to grow with God, if we want to maintain a progressive communion with God, every one of us must begin to focus not on your faces, not on your outlooks. While I'm not saying you should please wear a bad outlook or have long faces and just be acting holily, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm looking for people who concentrate on a correct heart, who are making sure that nothing impure is standing between them and God within their heart. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God concentrates on the inner man. God concentrates on the heart. And it is that that God focuses upon all the time when he evaluates our walk with him. Let me ask Brother Joshua to please read that little summary at the end of that section before we see how we can go on.
Knowing how corrupt the heart of a man is, and the fact that God cannot be impressed by outward appearance, but by the inside the heart, it becomes critical for you to look intently to God for help over the condition of your heart as you continue in this study.
Thank you. Now, before we go to number two, which is going to be a very big study, and I'm not sure we can finish it with the time that we have left, I would like you to quickly go to page 80, and you'll see a song there. And I would like us to quickly read out that song. I want Sister Becky to read that for us. The song says, "Is thy heart right with God?"
Is thy heart right with God? Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Contest thou all things for Jesus lost? Is thy heart right with God? Has thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is there no more condemnation or sin? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? And the chorus says, "Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humbly and lowly, right in the sight of God."
Right in the sight of God. Thank you. Thank you. Now, that is a question that I want you to bear in your mind, even as we progress with this Bible study. What I want to do now, we'll simply pick the first section of that number two. What does the word pure mean? And we are talking about blessed are the pure in heart. And I am not sure we will be able to get through the whole of that, but let's attempt a bit of it and then find where we can stop to pray together. What does the word pure mean? Let's ask Sister Carla to read that introduction under that section for us, under section 2A.
What does the word pure mean? A, from the dictionary, it means not mixed with any other substance, free from other substances. A pure thing is that which consists of only one substance, not mixed with any other substance, even if that other substance is ordinarily good and useful. For instance, a sugar and water solution, though sweet and harmless, is no longer pure water, not to talk of sand mixed with water. So a pure heart means a heart reserved for God only, his purpose and his counsel. A heart not mixed with anything of self, of Satan, the world, or any other thing, good or bad.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Now, we first want to note that when we are looking at what does it mean when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And the word pure is our first matter of definition this moment. We noted that from the dictionary, it means not mixed with any other substance. When you say this is pure salt, or this is pure water, or this is pure this, or pure that, all you are simply saying that it is not a mixture of another substance with another substance. When you say something is pure, that means it's purely of this particular substance. There's nothing else you will find in it. Now, a pure thing is that which consists of only one substance, not mixed with any other substance. Even if that other substance is ordinarily good and useful. So when we are talking about purity of heart, we are going to be looking at what it means. A heart that is purely reserved for God. A heart that is not mixed with anything else. A heart that does not entertain anything outside the will of God and the purpose of God and his counsel. We are not saying it's a heart that is filled of good things. That's not the issue we are raising here. There are many hearts filled with good things, but these good things are contrary to the purpose of God. That heart is not pure anymore. So a heart that is not mixed with anything of self or of Satan or of the world or any other thing, good or bad, is what we are referring to as a pure heart. And so the question that song was raising, is your heart right with God? God who said, I'm a jealous God, I tolerate no rival. Is there anything in your heart that is occupying a space, a corner, and that space is not under our Father's control? Is there anything that you nurse in the heart and it is not originating from God? Anything of that nature makes the heart not to be pure. So let's quickly read some of the passages there and see how far we are able to go before we stop today. Now, discuss what it will mean to be pure in heart in the light of the scriptures that we have here with us. Psalm 51 verse 10. Let's ask Brother Joshua to start reading Psalm 51 verse 10. Then Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, Sister Becky. And Psalm 73 verse 25, Sister Carla. Let's begin from that point before we come back again. Yes.
Psalm 51 verse 10.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
All right. Thank you. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And I would like you to note the word to create. I see this pure heart, unless it's a new creation. Unless a new creation, the old human heart cannot fit. He said the human heart is desperately wicked, is too sick to be healed. If something is too sick to be healed, it cannot be improved upon. It means it has to be discarded, has to be replaced. And so if you are praying and say, Lord, I need a heart that's not contaminated. I need a heart that is purely for you. A heart that is purely reserved for you. A heart that does not entertain anything else, anything that is an addiction apart from you. Then you are simply saying, Lord, give me a new heart. And he promised, a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you a heart of stone. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2.
As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Thank you.
Psalm 73:25, New King James Version. Who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Amen.
Amen. We're looking at what it will mean to be pure in heart. And the first thing we're seeing in Psalm 51, that it has to be a new creation. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We cannot carry the natural old human heart and expect that it will fit into what we are saying. God has to change it. God has to give you a brand new heart for you to be able to have this kind of heart that will help you to walk with God. The second issue we saw is that it's a heart that is yearning, thirsty, hungry, panting after God. A heart that nothing else satisfies it except an experience, an encounter with God. A heart that hungers and thirsts, you know, for God and for righteousness. It is that kind of heart that we will be referring to as a heart that is pure, a heart that is seeking God at all time and in every way. And the Psalm 73 that Carla just helped us to read was pointing at something that is critical about the pure heart. It's a heart that has no trust in anything else. A heart that does not put anything else within itself apart from God. I'm sure that when I come back to start looking at purity of heart, you'll soon see that some of the things that God refers to as impurity of a man's heart, sometimes you don't even think it is sinful. But the fact that there's something else, there's someone else in whom you have put your trust, something else that, you know, captivates your heart, that draws your heart away, it makes it impure. Clean and pure heart is a heart that is wholly set, and fixed on God. He's able to say, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Right. Now, I want us to pick just a little more of this. And then I would like to ask you to stop for today. And then we'll pray together. Let's read Matthew 6. You'll be wondering, how does that point to purity of heart? Let's read Matthew 6. 19 to 24, Sister Carla, you can pick that for us. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we'll ask our Sister Becky to read that for us.
Matthew 6, 19 to 24, New King James Version. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen.
Wow. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what are we noting there? We're seeing that where a man's treasure is, there your heart will be. And that's one thing about the heart. The heart only glues to what it regards as a treasure. The heart is not available for anything that it does not treasure. So when we talk about purity of heart or a pure heart in the sight of God, the first thing we are noting is that for your heart to be pure, it must have only one treasure. And that treasure can only be God if it's going to be pure. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, you know, we are coming from the question of, okay, what did I put in my heart? We have talked about impurity, adulteries, fornications, murders, and all of that. That's one set of things that make a human heart impure. But the other thing that makes your heart impure for what God wants to lead you into is when it is filled with a different treasure. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You cannot have your heart and say, oh yes, my heart is with God, when your heart is somewhere else, because that's where your treasure is. So I want to stop at this today. I think for us to be able to pray together and for you to have a space to meditate, because when I'll come back by God's grace next week on this same study, we'll now pick up and begin to look at what are the parameters of a pure heart. That's what we shall be studying when we come back. But if we want to get into that now, we'll only be rushing. We don't need to rush this, because the need to have an understanding of how to maintain a pure heart, how to walk with God, how to build an unbroken communion with God with a pure heart. But the one thing I want to end with here is that where your treasure is, that's what determines where your heart goes. You cannot have a heart that is purely for God when actually your heart is divided in between two or three treasures. So the Lord is saying it is not possible for a man to serve God and money. You either choose, which one do I want to run after? So one of the greatest impurity of heart is divided heart. In fact, one of the critical impurity is what you will not call it impurity. You think it's ordinary that, oh, he's doubting. But the Bible says a man who is doubting is unstable in all his ways. His heart is not fixed anywhere. Let not that man think he can receive anything from God. It's because he is not loyal. His heart is not perfect towards God. When we read about Amaziah, who did what is right in the sight of God, but his heart is not perfect. When you go and read it, you will notice that the matter was the fact that when there was now a time to go and fight a battle against the Ethiopians, he went, hired some other soldiers, some other nations, as if God was not able to help him. And God said, your heart is not pure. Your heart is not loyal. Your heart is not perfect towards God, because there are other things that you are putting in there. So if I stop at this point today, and we're asking, what's the condition of your heart? Where is your heart? What are the treasures that you have kept in your heart? Some of you, it is your children that have become the treasure of your heart. They have become the idol of your heart. They have made your heart impure. Some of you, it is your career, it's your business. Anything that touches your business, you know that it has touched everything inside of your heart. And God is watching and saying, no, 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 that man's heart is not for me. His heart is somewhere else. He cannot have a pure heart because there are too many issues that are poking into that heart. Can I find out from you, where is your heart? What is your heart centered upon? Is your heart right with God? Are your affections, have they been nailed to the cross? Is your heart freed from all the other affections? And the only affection that your heart is glued to now is the Lord himself. Is your heart mixed with any other thing? Is your heart full of self or the things of the world or the things of Satan or anything else that has taken the center stage within your heart? We'll stop at that point so that when we come next, I will then be looking at the parameters of a pure or a clean heart. And then we'll be looking at how do we achieve it before we come to look at the blessedness of those who have a pure heart for them to see the Lord. Now, that is where we're going to stop for today. And I would just like you to ruminate on the issues we have looked at and ask, the heart I'm still carrying about, is it deceitful still? Are you sitting there somewhere? But the issues of your heart, nobody has known it. Your closest person, that's your wife or your husband, does not know. Your heart is so deep inside that nobody really knows you very well. That kind of heart cannot walk with God. And you might think, oh, no, 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 I don't want to open up. Yes, you don't want to open up. But if you will not open up to God to help you to change that heart, you know that where it is taking you, it's like you are already a prison in your own heart. There are issues that you are so jittery about that nobody must know anything about it. But Jesus is standing at the door today and he's knocking on that heart. And he said, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. And let your eyes behold and observe my ways. Give me your heart and see what I can do with your life. Release your heart to God today. You may have even been so religious, but I hear God saying, yes, these people draw near me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. You may be watching the outside of the cup, but you know the inside is still full of, it's a sepulcher of dry bones. This evening or this morning, as the case may be, wherever you are following this Bible study, can you please look? Because what God is looking at is your heart, nothing else. Is your heart right with God? When they were to anoint people in the house of Jesse, the only thing that God looked at and he disqualified Eliab, Abinadab, and the other boys was their heart. He said, I have refused him. It's not just that way, they are not God's choice. No, it is that God gave them a chance to check their heart out. But their heart was not right. So I've refused him. I don't look at outward appearance. I look at their heart. Excuse me, brother. Excuse me, dear sister. What is in the heart? What is the condition of your heart? If God is going to evaluate you now, excuse me, he's not evaluating even how big the church you are pastoring looks like. The question is, what is the condition of your heart? Are you right with God? When you lay hands on those girls, what is your heart? That's what God is checking. God is not first looking at the number of crowd and the singing team and the way, you know, Everything is arranged around you. God is saying, but I can see his heart. His heart is not right. I stop here and ask you, what's the condition of your heart? And if you have seen how God himself said, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Can you not allow your heart to deceive you? Don't let your heart deceive you today. Don't say, well, it's all right. You know it's not all right. Sometimes because there's a matter in your heart, when you find yourself praying with your wife, you switch up in tongues because there's something you are hiding. Can you bring this heart to God and say, God, I actually want to make progress with you. I want to be what you want me to be. And I want to stand and serve you aright. Lord, deal with my heart. Change my heart. We will read Psalm 51 again, and verse 10, that will be our final passage of prayer. Brother Joshua, please read Psalm 51, verse 10 one more time, and then we will be stopping to pray together.
Psalm 51, verse 10.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
A clean heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast, not shaking, not shifting, a steadfast spirit within me. If we go to God right away, I want you to please face God. You may have been pretending, but today is a day for God to give you a new heart. You may have committed sin. It's not the issue that is the matter. It's for God to give you a new heart. If your heart has not been changed, no matter how many promises you make, it will not work. It will not work because the issue issues only from the heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. If God is going to deal with that issue and he wants to deal with it very, very firmly and finally, he must get to the heart of the matter, which is your heart. We pray together at this point, my brother, my dear sister, we call on God together and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Please call on God for yourself and just whisper a word of prayer. Just whisper, wherever you are, you may be alone in your room or in your office or even in your car. And you may be in a class where several others are following this Bible study with you. You may be in a church hall where this Bible study is going together. Can you pray and say, Lord, even my neighbor does not know what is happening in my heart, but I want you to change my heart today. Give me a new heart. I want to walk with you. I'm tired of being a man outside and a different man inside. I'm tired of that. I want to be real. Lord, please help me. Have you given an impression of being a nice brother, a nice sister to people, but your heart towards them is not correct. Your heart towards them is not right. Oh, will you cry to God and say, Lord, change this heart for me. I can't be saying yes, and yet my heart is saying no somewhere else. I can't be smiling out there, and yet my heart is full of bitterness. Lord, do something to my heart. The heart of the matter is the heart. And unless the heart has been affected and changed, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. May God help us. May God answer your prayer. But may I remind you that Jesus is saying, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I create within you. I will take away from you the heart of stone. And I will give you the heart of flesh. I will make you to walk in my statutes and obey. Let's ask God for that. Father, this evening we pray for our brothers and sisters, wherever they are. thank you for introducing us again to another critical attitude, another critical issue in the kingdom lifestyle. That for any man to actually walk in the kingdom and live the life that Jesus Christ has offered to us, it has to be from a pure heart. Lord, we pray this day that you will please visit us. Visit all your people one by one. And one thing we are asking, renew a right spirit within me. Now, those whose hearts have been entangled with the cares of life, entangled with other treasures apart from you, please release those hearts right away. Those, oh God, who are saying, all I need is a new heart completely. Answer our cry and do a new thing for them. Lord Jesus, we are asking that your promise, the promise you say is of a new heart. So if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Lord, create in your people a new heart today and give us opportunity to walk with you with a pure heart, to walk in the light of your presence. Thank you. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.